Welcome back to the Golly Young Men podcast. This is episode 74. We are so excited for you joining us for this episode. We're talking about a topic today that is under attack in our society. It's come under scrutiny a lot, and that is just the idea of truth itself. Can truth be known? Is truth absolute? Is truth relative? And, you know, 40, 50 years ago, this would be a question that would be looked at kind of with some ridiculousness. I mean, there's always been people that have kind of questioned the legitimacy of an objective standard of truth, but especially in the last couple decades, we have this concept that has really been popularized that you can't really know truth. And you hear stuff like, well, Joe, there's your truth, and then there's my truth. And Those two things might be different, but you can't really say that one of them is true and one of them is not. Again, just the concept of truth itself, of hard fact truth, is under attack, is under scrutiny. I mean, even things like you can say that's a man, that's a woman. Obviously, you look around our society, you can't say those things without people saying, you know, are you accusing you of being, you know, hateful or whatever. Like, we're not even allowed to say those truths. And so there's a term that we're going to define here in just a second that really boils down to the heart of the matter on this. And obviously, there's a lot of intellectuals that would kind of consider themselves this term that I'll use here in just a second. But just at the very, as we get this episode started, at the very foundation of this is just the idea of questioning truth in general. Can you say truths or can you not? That's what we want to talk about today.
And look, we can say perception is reality. We've talked on things like that, right? Like the way you perceive something may be the reality with which you're operating. That doesn't make it objective truth. And this is where we differ from, as we're about to get into, this term. We're not saying there can't be subjectivity at times, but it is all surrounding a very objective standard, something that does not change. God is an objective standard. His word is an objective standard. It is truth. The postmodernist would come in and it would take something along the lines of, you know, let's say we're looking outside at a tree color and you go, that's green. And somebody goes, well, actually that's emerald or whatever, more specific. We're looking at it a little bit differently. Maybe somebody's colorblind. Maybe he can't see green. So they would look at that and go, well, what is truth? We both have our own truths. Yeah, well, we can't both be right. That's the point.
There's conflict.
We cannot both
be
right. So what's true for you may not be what's true for me. But there is a truth to be found. What's true for both of you may not be true at all. You both could be off, but there is an objectivity to this. And that's what we want to get into. And so there is a problem with that idea, and it's because it rips apart the foundation of everything that life is built on.
And that term is postmodernism. I didn't really say it at the start. Postmodernism, kind of a big, fancy, you know, I guess, philosophical term, you might say. Essentially, I'm going to read a definition here, but if you're not going to remember this definition, I would challenge you just to remember a postmodernist is somebody who doesn't really believe in absolute truth. I mean, and that's not just me trying to straw man what they believe. If you just Google postmodernism, that's what you're going to see. Like, they don't believe in absolute truth. I am going to read a definition or two very quickly. And Joe, then you already started on it, but I do want you to get into what is the main problem with this idea. We're obviously going to get into kind of the problems that it leads to for our faith, but just the main problem with the idea, I'll let you start on, maybe we can both answer. But postmodernism, an intellectual stance or a mode of discourse characterized by skepticism towards scientific rationalism and the concept of objective reality as opposed to subjective reality. So again, characterized by skepticism towards objective reality. They would say there is no objective. It's all subjective. Another kind of aspect of it is that the postmodernists would disagree that the descriptive and explanatory statements of scientists and historians can, in principle, be objectively true or false. The postmodernist disagrees with that. They would say, no, you can't say that something is true or false. The postmodern denial of this viewpoint, which follows from the rejection of an objective natural reality, there it is again, is sometimes expressed by saying that there is no such thing as truth. That's what the postmodernist believes. And again, you'll have these people that are in the intellectual community that will subscribe to this idea, and you might be saying, well, that doesn't really apply to me. What's the big deal? This thinking has very much leaked its way into our brains, into the church, just into society as a whole. Without somebody coming out and saying, I'm a postmodernist or I believe in postmodernism, you can still very much have remnants of this belief system. Yep. You can very much still kind of hold to this without actually knowing it. So, Joe, what would you add to the definition? And then maybe if you want to get us into what is the overall problem with this idea before we dive into it a little further?
Yeah, I don't know that there's much I would add to the definition of it just as I'm looking at it here. They use big words to kind of confuse you. You know, when you're looking at the definitions and such, or when you see postmodernists speak, they hide behind these big definitions because they're very smart and intellectual, and they're very very proud of themselves is really what it comes down to most of the time when they are coming out with these bold stances such as we object to the idea of objective truth. The problem with this is just as it sounds. In saying there's no objective truth, is that an objective truth?
If you it's a self-defeating statement.
It's a self-defeating statement. There's no such thing as truth. Is that true? Or can I not count on that one either?
Right.
If nothing's true, then we have nothing, no foundation to stand on. You look at a society that is rampant with LGBTQ, rampant with transgenderism, and we're getting into trans species and the weird stuff. But like when you see the stuff that we get into in our society and some of the issues that we have, you see this permeating our thinking, which is, can we really know truth? Does life really begin at conception? Does a man can be whatever he wants to be. If he wants to be female, if he wants to be a dog, I suppose that's what you can be. Because there is no objective truth, and to more specifically, objective moral truth, which is even bigger of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, two things I'll say very quickly. Joe hit the nail on the head of, like, if you just consider the logical implications of saying there is no objective truth, that in and of itself is an objective statement. There's no subjectivity there. And so, there you again, it's a self-defeating claim to say there is no objective truth. You just claimed that something was objective. So is it true or is it not? But then the other thing, and again, Joe, you got into this very well, is just the sense of like where this leaves us as a society if it's true. And again, there's the truth thing. But like if you can't really know truth, if it's maybe, again, what's true for you might not be true for me. And but we can both be right. And, you know, you can't really say this is true and this is false. Everything's kind of gray. There's not really black and white. Where does that leave us as a society? It leads to all the things that we're going to get to here in a little bit. But primarily, it's just kind of like, I don't know, depressing is a strange word to use, I guess, here. But like, if you can't know anything for certain, if nothing is concrete and everything is kind of abstract and, again, gray, not black and white, what ground do you have to stand on? I mean, you consider, Joe, you are not a big fan of boats. You said you'll probably never go on a cruise. You don't do ferries or anything. Why? Because the constant rock and motion gets you really, really sick. Might be a kind of weird metaphor, but in the, you know, you'd much rather be on solid, firm ground opposed to the swaying of a boat. The postmodernist, somebody who would say, yeah, you can't really know truth, is constantly moving back and forth and there is nothing solid to stand on. That'd be a rough place to be.
I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning, to be honest with you. As a postmodernist, it would be so stinking depressing to get out of bed and go, what is life all about? There is no objective truth. There is nothing that we're striving toward because it's all kind of relative. And I guess I'm trying to find my truth. And that's very much what it goes into for them is I'm trying to find what's true for me. But do you ever find it? Because truth is relative. Truth doesn't really exist. And if they say, well, you'll find your own specific truth, that's in relation to what? Because people can find their own specific truth. Schizophrenics can find their own truth, which is, hey, there's an imaginary friend over there who's talking to me, and that's his truth. And who are you to say otherwise? And this is the danger that we're getting into is if you state something as this is my truth, all of a sudden it's real. Where do we see this most? Well, I don't believe in hell, so, you know, I don't know. I don't think that I need the gospel because I just don't believe in hell. Nobody cares what you believe. Hell is either real or it's not, and it absolutely is real based off of an objective truth of Scripture. But if you're going to be on the postmodernist end, then you look at it and go, well, I just don't believe in it, so I guess that's truth for me.
That's my truth.
We can't all be right. We can all be wrong, but we cannot all be right. That's not how truth works. If you say 2 + 2 is 4, and I say 2 + 2 is 5, and the guy down the street says 2 + 2 is 3, well, who's right? There has to be an objective standard. Will, in this case, would be right, but 2 + 2 being 5 is my truth. So who are you to say otherwise? And this sounds absurd, and you go, okay, why are you saying this? Who's actually saying this? Public schools teach this a lot. If you pay attention to the culture, if you pay attention to intersectionality and the things that they push with critical race theory, and all of this goes right back to postmodernism. What is truth?
And you have to, again, you take that statement. Hell is real. I say that I believe that. Joe says that he does not believe that. There is no my truth versus Joe's truth. We are in completely, again, hypothetically here, we are completely diametrically opposed to each other. There is no, you know, well, maybe you're both right. No, if I say hell is real and Joe says hell is not as real,
we can't both be right.
You can't both be right. Because people want to bring up like the color analogy of like, oh, well, maybe it's emerald versus green. Like, that's not the same. Like, you look at, again, the man or woman thing. If I look at Bruce Jenner, and okay, we'll use you as the sane one here. If Joe says Bruce Jenner is a man, and I say Bruce Jenner is a woman, we both can't be right.
Right.
There
it can't be two places at once.
It's the law of the exclusive middle, or the law of the excluded middle. there is no middle ground there. It's either one or the other. And since we're on separate sides of that, there is no your truth or my truth. Even think about the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, right, that all men are created equal. What does the postmodernist say? Well, you know, you can't really say that's necessarily true, because there is no such thing as truth. Well, congratulations, you just unraveled the fabric work of our country, you know, what our country was founded upon. And so that's really, as we're just kind of fleshing out this point of like, what's the problem with this? These are some of the dangers that come with this kind of thinking.
And what they're specifically taking a baseball bat to is the Bible. Because we hold the Bible, as does the Declaration of Independence and our founding fathers, as the truth upon which all other truths are built. So if you are if you're eating away at that understanding of Scripture is truth, what then becomes truth? And this is where we get into collectivism. So you start looking at it and going, if we can get the most people to believe it, because postmodern, if we really break it down, postmodernism means everybody should go by their own standard, but then a foot to you would be 12 inches, and a foot to me would be 15 inches, and a foot to them. You know how many goofy houses we'd have? You wouldn't have houses if everybody went by it. So there has to be a
mile.
Standard.
Would be, oh, it's only 10 miles, but you know, my mile is 2,000 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
And yours is 5,280, right.
I'll be there in 20 minutes, and that could be whenever, which that actually is the case with me.
So is a postmodernist when it comes to time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Time is relative. What are you saying? But the point is, they flatly deny Scripture as the standard, but they will look to others, and this, how do we know this? Because the postmodernists are the ones pushing, as I said, critical race theory. Meaning, if you say anything that's out of line with their belief, if you say anything against the LGBTQ, if you say anything against, well, then you're wrong. But by their own standards, how could you say I'm wrong? That's truth to me. But they can't really accept that that's your truth. We're the ones appealing to an actual true standard. They're the ones appealing to collectivism. If they can get the most people to believe that it's okay, then it's okay. That's where relativistic thinking comes in, and that's where postmodernism comes in, which is so scary to have, because as young men, we can really feed into this. And there are specific ways I'm going to get into as to some of the hallmarks of postmodern thinking and how this really affects us as Christian young men on a day-by-day basis.
Well, very quickly, I would just say that postmodernism can and often does lead to moral relativism.
Yeah.
What's true for you is not necessarily true for me, can lead to what's morally right or wrong for me to do is not the same for you. A society that operates under those standards is a scary place. If rape can't be wrong for one person and right for another person, there has to be a standard. But Joe, I'll let you go ahead and get into the – we have kind of three hallmarks of postmodernistic, which I don't think is a word, postmodernism type thinking. I'm sure there's more, but these are the three that we really want to hit. So if you want to go ahead and get in the first one.
Yeah, first one is always wanting to define terms at the expense of answering a question. Well, hold on. What do you mean by, so if I said like the sky is blue, well, what do you mean by sky? What do you mean by blue is the sky?
Just answer the question,
man. Just answer the question. This is the way that it is, you know, like, yes, the sky is blue. I think we can objectively say the sky is blue. Well, is it a shade of blue? What if, you know, there are times where the sky is gray because of clouds, and there are times where,
when it's pink,
depending on
sunset,
the aurora borealis, yeah. I mean, there are times where it's not. We can get so relativistic in our thinking or define terms down to the minute details that we fail to just answer a question and stand on truth. Yes, the sky is blue. You know, there are going to be times where the sky is gray, but in reality, the sky's not gray. It's just clouds over the blue. And there's going to be times where the aurora borealis comes in and it's beautiful colors. It's green. It's pink. It's not blue. The sky is still blue. In the morning, you're going to wake up and the sky is going to be blue. So objectively speaking, the sky is blue.
And to bring it to another example, does God exist? Well, what do you mean by exist? What do you mean by God? It's like...
Right. Just answer the question.
Yeah, exactly. I get there's, to some extent, for like maybe really complicated questions, it's like, okay, I need to make sure I know what you mean here. But not on everything. And a lot of this postmodernistic thinking is, again, for the most simplest of questions, the question very rarely gets answered. Instead, it turns into a conversation about, well, let's define what terms we're talking about here. The next one I would say, very similarly, is always answering questions with, well, yes and no. Essentially, again, that gray, the aversion to black or white, the aversion to the binary, everything is just kind of in the middle. Everything is, well, you know, yes and no, depends on this, depends on that. Again, answer the question. Is it yes? Is it no?
And as with the last one, there is a level of like, yes, life is lived in shades of gray on some areas.
On some levels, yeah.
On some levels, and in some areas of life. There are clear black and white levels, and we have to be willing to call that out. Look, homosexuality is wrong. Well, yes and no. I mean, because this is we'll just take this here. I have heard the a man who desires another man is not wrong as long as he's not acting on it. The act of homosexuality is wrong, but the desire of homosexuality isn't necessarily wrong. And so we kind of get into the gray area of like, is he really wrong? And if he doesn't act on it, or if he doesn't go all the way or whatever it is, like, I think we can say that's not God's intended design. Can we condemn the guy for having a stray thought? No, that's not our place to condemn. But I think we can look at it and go, this is the normative principle. Like, this is what's supposed to happen. A guy is supposed to like a girl. He's supposed to desire a girl. So if a guy doesn't, we can get into the yes and no and you know, defining terms and everything. And again, there's a place, a time and place for that.
But not all the time.
So often it is dodging the question because it is relativism. It is this postmodernism, like, what is truth? Can we really know? And most of the time it comes down to you're a wimp who just doesn't want to say what you need to say.
Yeah, and so this leads us to the third one, which, again, these all kind of tie together as far as a hallmark.
I think it's the conclusion of it. Yeah, it leads to this.
It's kind of a hallmark of postmodernistic thinking is just refusing to give an objective answer. Refusing to say, yes, this is what I believe. No, I don't believe this. Yes, this is the way this is. Again, the Bruce Jenner question, I'll bring it up again. Yeah. Is Bruce Jenner a man? Yes or no, objectively. The postmodernist does not want to give that answer. The postmodernist refuses to give that answer. Again, they'll dance around it, define the terms, whatever. At some point, you have to be willing to do that.
Because it ties them down. It ties them down to they have to stand for something. And I will say, I was dabbling in libertarianism. My brother and I both were. I think I followed my brother politically there for a while, to be honest. And he's a libertarian, and I started looking into it and reading some literature and things like that. And it kind of made sense. Like, okay, well, maybe that's the case. And I will say a big reason why is I hated Republicans and I hated Democrats equally. I thought they both stunk. And so I went into this and it's a lot easier to stand in the middle. And when somebody at the time, when somebody's like, well, Clinton is horrible. Yeah, she is. Well, Trump's horrible. Yeah, he is. You could stand in the middle and away from it. And it was a way to be a buffer, at least for me, kind of a way to be a buffer of like, I could almost make friends with both sides. Now, not that I wanted to make friends with certain sides, but at the same time, you could stand above it a little bit and kind of be the, oh, I'm a thinker who's, you know, I'm playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. Not really. Not really. What it is we're failing to take a stand and say, this is wrong. This person is clearly in the wrong, or this person I like better. It comes down to, once again, as I said, being a wimp. This is why we're talking about this as godly young men, is we have to be men who stand up and say the truth. We say the hard things. We are not relativistic in our thinking. We're not postmodern and like, well, yes and no, and what do you mean by, and kind of dancing around this objective answer, this objective truth. As godly young men, we have to be the type that go, this is wrong, this is right, because thus saith the Lord. And if we can't do that, and if we're trying to dance around so as to make friends, we've lost all influence, because the people that are pushing against this are not people to be friends with. We cannot be friends with the world and still love God. 1 John makes that abundantly clear. The postmodernist very much, postmodern Christian that is, very much gives into that principle of, can we appease the world while still loving God? John answers that very clearly.
Right.
No.
James does as well.
And James as well.
I was not old enough to vote in the 2016 election, but I was pretty active on, it was Twitter back then before it was X, and so I was following all the discourse. I don't know if I had Facebook back then or not, but there were people, your brother was one of them, love him to death, but, you know, very much above it, like, oh, both sides are bad. And what was screaming out of me at that point was like, all you're doing is not choosing a side.
Yep.
That's all you're doing. And, you know, not to call anybody a wimp or coward or whatever, but it's like, yeah, it's really easy to just kind of be like, yeah, that side's bad, that side's bad. Anybody can do that.
Right.
But to actually choose a side, not to get political here, but that's what the postmodernist does not want to do. They don't want to be tied down. They don't want to choose a side. And so let's get to some biblical principles real quick. Ironically enough, all the passages we're about to bring up are from John. John has a good bit to say about truth.
Yes, he does.
Very interesting. This is not necessarily any kind of referendum here, but I did want to bring up John 18, where Jesus is on trial. He's going before Pilate. And Pilate asks a question that is, you know, postmodernistic, so to speak, before that, you know, term even existed. In John 18, Pilate, the verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." In verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?"
Mm-hmm.
We don't get Jesus' answer to that. What we do get to see is Pilate himself was wrestling with this question of like, okay, Jesus, you know, this guy that's before me on trial, you're talking about truth. What is truth? And so it's not necessarily a new question that people have. Again, Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago was asking this question. But a few other passages in John very quickly that talk about truth. Joe, I'm just going to read off all the way through them, and then if you want to comment on any of them after I get done with all three. You've got John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does that imply? That you can know the truth.
Truth can be known.
Right, truth can be known. He literally says you shall know the truth. You're not a, well, you know, you can know your truth, or you can know some people's truth. No, he says you shall know the truth. Yeah. Obviously, John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a truth, not one of many truths. I am the truth, or the way, the truth.
No one comes to the Father but through me, which we're going to get into here in just a minute on how that impacts the faith. But that is a key statement to all of this.
Right. And then last but not least, John 17, 17, where Jesus says, your word, talking to God in his prayer, your word is truth. Again, these are very objective statements. These are very truth can be known. I am, talking about Jesus here, the truth. And then God, your word is truth. Not a lot of gray area in that. There's not a lot of, well, what is he really saying there? No, he's saying, God, your word is truth. Truth can be known. Joe, what would you add to any of those passages that we looked
at?
What
I find very, very interesting is, and I was just reading this the other day, so I love that this outline is here and that you put this together. Because I was reading John 17, John 18, and looking through this idea of truth, right? Because I was seeing in John 17, 17, your word is truth. He's telling this, he's praying that, but this is in the upper room with the disciples. They're the ones that are supposed to stand on the objective truth. Pilate represents the world. He represents the Gentiles. He represents those separated from God. And they're still trying to figure out what is truth. They're wrestling with this concept. He's already laid it out throughout the book of John. He's laid out what this is. But it's to those who understand and those who want to know. So you will have people in the world, they're never going to understand truth. They're never going to accept the truth. And this goes to the beginning of John of like, the light comes into the world, the darkness doesn't comprehend it, the darkness doesn't want it. And you have Pilate, what is truth? And the rest of the world is going, what is truth? We have that. So we as godly young men must stand firm on the fact that we got to stand way more on John 17, 17 than John 18, 38. God's word is truth. And you go, well, how does that impact math? How does that impact everything else? God himself is true. And God himself set the universe in order. He gave us the laws of physics. He gave us things like that. Truth by which we can now know life. It is not relative. The laws of physics aren't relative where gravity works for you and doesn't work for me. That is a strong reason to believe in a God, to believe in an objective, truthful God, that we're not all going by different standards, because with chaos and everything else, you would think that that would be the case. And so to me, this speaks more of God, but I just wanted to say that of we have point, to be men who stand on John 17, 17, and don't go to the relativistic, worldly view of Pilate in John 18, 38.
And again, it's so much better of a position to stand firm on truth, to have that solid ground to stand on, as opposed to, well, you know, we can't really say what's right and what's wrong. Yeah, what does that lead us to? It leads to people who can look at what Adolf Hitler did and say, well, you know, I guess you can't really say. No, you need to be able to look at what Adolf Hitler did and say, yeah, that was wrong. Sorry, we have an objective standard for that. And if you don't believe the Bible, if you're somebody who's a skeptic of that, or maybe you're doubting it, if the Bible is not the objective standard of morality, then what is?
Right.
You say, oh, well, the law is. Well, again, what did Hitler make legal? You know, throwing Jews in concentration camps. Like that was his law. Yeah. So the objective moral law cannot come from man. It has to come from God. And so as we wrap here, let's talk about the ways that this can impact your faith. Because you might be thinking, okay, you know, what is the big deal here? Again, be very mindful, first of all, before we get into this, of how this can kind of seep into your thinking. Again, with the not really wanting to answer a question, always saying, well, yeah, yes, no, sort of, maybe, kind of, depends on X, Y, Z. That's how it can really creep into your thinking, can creep into the church without anybody necessarily coming out and saying, oh yeah, I'm a postmodernist. But the first thing that obviously, as far as a way that can challenge your faith, is the Bible really an objective standard? Yeah, I know he said in John 17, your word is truth, but can we really say that about the Bible? If you start questioning that, your entire, again, standard can unravel.
Everything crumbles.
Yeah.
Because now what is everything based off of? What is truth based off of, and what is your life based off of? If you don't have the purpose that's laid out in Scripture, what is your purpose? Well, we're all trying to find it. Why? Why should we find purpose? What is the value in finding purpose in our life? Wouldn't it be, first off, yes, survival of the fittest, and second off, wouldn't it just be a hedonistic lifestyle of have as much fun as possible?
Oh, yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself. If you don't believe the Bible is the objective standard, what is the objective standard? And in any conversation, it's like, well, the Bible isn't in the conversation about work, a work conversation. There's got to be an objective truth. Yes, but the concept of objective truth is based in Scripture. the concept of objective truth. So even if scripture isn't in this particular conversation or that particular conversation about something, we know that objective truth can be found going all the way back to the Bible. There has to be some, again, some conceptualization of an objective truth. And if we get off of that, then we're all kind of floating in this nothingness, and no, we're all worse off for it. And that gets us into the second one, which is, does God really give us an objective standard for right and for wrong? Talking about floating, to your point of Hitler, if there is no objective standard of right and wrong, we could get into anything, you know? And most guys watching this are going to go, well, we know there's an objective standard. Most of the people you're around do not. This is how you get, there is a study that came out, I think it was 2016, a Barna study came out that said more kids think not recycling, there are more kids who think the sin of not recycling is worse than pornography.
That it's better to look at porn than to not recycle.
Correct. Like, how do you get that postmodernism? Yeah. Porn's relative, you know, masturbation, things like that. Those things are relative, and what's right for you may not be right for the other person. Who are you to say X, Y, Z? When it comes to right and wrong, if we are not willing to give an objective moral standard to this that is based in truth, based in scripture, then Hitler doing what he did was just his truth, him living out his truth. And all of the atrocities taking place around the world, who are you to say that over in, you know, parts of Africa where the slave trade still takes place type of thing, who are you to say that's wrong? When they grill us on slavery, when they grill us on the different things that, from that perspective of that was so wrong, yes, it was, but how are you defining that?
Yeah.
How are you saying that that was, like, we're saying it's wrong, but we're basing it off of a scriptural standard. How are you saying it's wrong? Because you have no standard by which it's wrong. To them, that was right. And so who are you to say otherwise? This is a slippery slope of that.
Yeah. So thirdly, again, ways that this can impact our faith to get us to question things. Is the Bible really the objective standard? As Joe just said, does God really give us an objective standard for right and wrong? But thirdly, this will lead people to ask the question, well, you know, should we or can we really stand our ground on this XYZ biblical issue? Yeah, I know the Bible speaks out against this or that, but man, can we really say that? I mean, truth is this is where that can lead us to.
Right.
Things that the Bible clearly condemns, you know, sleeping with your girlfriend, looking at porn, you know, whatever. Well, you know, can we really say that? If you get to where you are asking that question, then postmodernism has influenced your thinking. Yep. Ties into the last one very well. I'll go ahead and read it, and then Joe, you can close us out maybe. But again, these kind of hot button political issues, homosexuality, abortion. Where this leads to transgenderism, where this leads to is people going, well, you know, maybe those things really aren't all that bad, or it depends on their perspective.
It doesn't affect you.
Right, it's
their
right.
perspective, their truth.
Right, it's their truth. And, you know, let's just kind of hear them out and hear what they have to say, because, you know, their experience versus my experience, like, at the end of the day, something is right, something is wrong, there is objective truth. If you start to question that, that's where this eventually will end up, is like you saying, well, you know, maybe I believe abortion is wrong, but that person doesn't. And so I can't really say that, no, those are two conflicting opinions. One is right, one is wrong. Postmodernism leads you to kind of question your stance on those things.
And there's subjectivism in this of, well, that's their truth and they're just living out their truth. We can't coexist as such. This is why society is like we are heading down fast. Because we've allowed this thinking to be pervasive. We have allowed the place, my brother posted on this, where Louisiana just said that you're supposed to, everybody by 2025, every classroom is supposed to have the Ten Commandments posted. And people are losing their minds. But so many classrooms have a pride flag and nobody loses their minds. That's how we get to this. We were not a better off society for having it with the Ten Commandments in the classroom. We are way worse for where it is. Why? Because they took the relativistic, like, it's none of your business and this is just my truth. You can't have, well, we'll let them have their truth over there and we'll just live by our own truth. There will always be a power dynamic, a struggle in between those two. Somebody's going to win. It has to be us. As godly young men, we are training up to this fight, this war, the spiritual battle. That's why this matters so much. And fifth, this is not on the outline, but I will wrap up with, in ways this can impact your faith, this very much determines whether you view Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. We are seeing so many people go off to the side, Eastern religion, they're thinking about other things. Can we really know we're the only ones with the truth? Can we really know we're right? How do we know that? How do we know that,
great point.
that Taoism and Buddhism and Confucianism and all of these, how do we know Hinduism, that they don't have some elements of truth?
Yeah.
Well, that's their truth. That's their truth. How do we know that we in Christianity have the truth?
You brought up hell as well. That's another big one.
Yes. Things like that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. That is either a factual statement or it's a false statement. It cannot be anything other than that. Maybe Jesus is a way and somebody else is a way. That's not how Jesus had it. This is the liar, lunatic, Lord of C.S. Lewis. You have to take Jesus as Lord, as a godly young man, instead of, well, maybe they're right over there and maybe they're right over there. That is postmodernism in a nutshell, where it's gotten us to the point where we can't just say Christianity is true, plain and simple. Boom, that's the way it is. Anybody else who's outside of Christianity, I'm sorry, you're not coming to God. I know you may be a very holy man in your religion. This is no offense to anybody. Your religion is false, and it's worshiping false gods, and hell is waiting. And I don't say that in some gleeful way. I'm saying this speaks to us as godly young men standing up and saying the truth. We don't want people going to hell because hell is very real, and the Bible is very real, and everything that pertains to life and godliness is only found in Jesus Christ. You remove that, and we have nothing. Yep. You remove that, and everybody is toast. So we, of all people, have to stand up and put an end to the postmodern thinking in every place in our life. We cannot be relativists. We cannot be those who deny truth. We have to stand on the fact that Christ is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And if we do that, I mean, imagine if every Christian were standing on that and we evangelized as though we believe that. Yeah. That would be incredible. So let's do away with this foolishness. This is the stupidity of the era. No more. As young men of God, we must stand up against this.
What a great way to wrap. I had one more illustration I wanted to use. I don't know that I want to. I mean, that was so good.
We need a post show.
Yeah, I know. Post show would be great. I'm going to do it very quickly to just add a little bit more clarification to what Joe said earlier about there are some areas where subjectivity can be brought in, that not everything on earth is black and white. I'm going to use a silly illustration and then apply it to the bigger example that Joe just used. You can look at a statement like, LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever play. There's some gray in there. That you know, somebody could look at that and say, no, definitely Jordan, definitely LeBron. Like, that's not necessarily black and white. What is black and white is saying LeBron James has scored more points in his basketball career than Michael Jordan.
Right.
There is no disagreement there. Apply it to abortion. Is ending a human life right or wrong? That's a yes or a no. Once you answer yes, you can then get to, okay, is a child in the womb a human life? These are yes or no questions. There is no gray. There is no middle. And then exactly what Joe said a second ago. Is Jesus Christ, or did he raise from the dead? He claimed to be the Son of God. Did he rise from the dead? There's no well, maybe, sort of, kind of.
Subjectivity.
He either did or he didn't. And that one truth impacts everybody's life that's watching this, everybody who's live who will never watch this. It's the most important truth ever known. And so for you to say, well, truth is relative, we can't really know truth, if you can't know for sure that Jesus rose from the dead, we're in a pretty rough spot. And so I love the way Joe, again, wrapped that, and I just cut right in front of him there.
That's okay.
But as godly young men, we have to stand up for truth. Because if we don't, our entire belief system, our entire way of life will unravel, essentially. We have to stand firm on the ground of truth.
It's Jordan Peterson. Tell the truth. He's got that as one of his 12 rules of life. He's absolutely right. Tell the truth. Even if it hurts, even if people don't like it, even if everybody's against it, and they're clamoring for you to just go along with the crowd, to blend in, you tell the truth.
Yep.
And telling the truth in this situation is Jesus Christ as Lord. He's Lord of our life. We have to make that a reality, but we have to live it. We have to say it. We have to believe it and be about that. As godly young men, postmodernism rips apart that concept. We have to pull it back together and say, this is where we're going as a culture, as our families, and as men of God. So we'll wrap right there. This has been episode 74 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We will talk to you again next week.